Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Seth and Sean. Ben Gary is producing this morning. Cecil, how are you today?
I'm good, brother. 3 days in a row, up early in the morning.
This is day two and I'm dragging.
But it's going all right. It's going all right.
We got a loaded show for you today. John McClain is going to join us at 8 o'clock. He'll join us for the entirety of that hour. Also, we're going to hear from Kevin Zlotnick, the owner of the Sugar Land Skeeters. The Skeeters are going to play this season. Not only are they going to play this season, they are going to play in front of fans. So he'll explain how that's going to work coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But first, I want to move to the Astros, because that was a lot of what we talked about yesterday was the Astros, not necessarily on the field, but Major League Baseball and the testing issues that they had. If you aren't familiar with this, the Astros were supposed to work out at Minute Maid Park on Monday. That workout was canceled because they had not gotten test results back from Major League Baseball, COVID-19 test results back from Major League Baseball. They were one of a number of teams that had the same issue. St. Louis Cardinals, Washington Nationals were among other teams that did not get test results back. And it made for quite the uneasy day for these players. And we talked with Ryan Pressly about it after yesterday's workout. So obviously the Astros got their results back at some point on Monday. So they were able to work out on Tuesday. And Ryan Pressly, when talking about it, went through what Monday was like.
When they first came in and told us to leave the stadium, I had thought originally somebody had tested positive and we were all kind of in the same room, I guess. And I thought everybody was kind of hitting the panic button, but we just didn't get our results back and they just sent us home.
So what's interesting about that, here you have all these guys gathered together and they're expecting to take part in a workout. They get ready for a season that starts in 2.5 weeks. And then all of a sudden they're told, y'all got to go home. As a player, that has to be a really rough feeling, knowing that you're dealing with a serious virus and somebody in that room that you're in might actually have it, and you might have gone home and passed it on to somebody else.
It's a roller coaster. You know what I mean? This off season for any sports league has been crazy, but especially for baseball, it just been a roller coaster. So when they were sent home on Monday, they're probably thinking, oh my gosh, we just got back. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. The first game, like you mentioned, in 2.5 weeks, I really want to be able to go out there, and then boom, something big. You assuming something big happens to you, right? Until they tell you, hey, you know, it's just that we didn't get the results back yet. And then, if I'm not mistaken, all the results came back negative, right?
Yes. So everyone who was tested on, it was Friday.
Right.
Everyone who was tested on Friday, their test came back negative. But they had to sit through the whole day, and they didn't know test results.
Oh, wow.
So they were tested Friday. There was the issue with MLB and the testing company not getting the results back. So they were sent home on Monday morning. And then it took a while for the results to actually get to them. And they had to sit around for really the entire day at home. And Ryan Pressly told us exactly when he found out that they had tested negative.
There was a couple of hiccups, as we all know. But I think, like I said, you know, this is new for everybody. And we just need to learn how to make adjustments on the fly. And once we're able to do that, I think everything will run a lot smoother. Like I said, it's just it's a new system right now. So everybody's kind of trying to work the kinks out. But I think as the days and weeks go on, we'll get better and smoother as we go on.
I keep that cut because we're going to wind up playing it again. So they found out at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So they found out at
PM?
9 o'clock, 9 p.m.
Oh, wow.
On Monday that they had all tested negative. They got a text from trainer Jeremiah Randall that they had tested negative. So they basically went about 12 hours. Now, listen, you take a test, you don't know the results, but I imagine that 12 hours were filled with a whole lot more uncertainty than the 48 hours before it.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of worry because you get sent home and you're not sure what's going on. You're not sure why. You're not sure if somebody tested positive. You already have a few guys not showing up because of undisclosed reasons. And then you are sent home and you're sitting there for 12 hours. You're not even, for me, I'm in bed by 9 o'clock. So I might have missed that text right away. So it's just a lot that goes on within that 12 hours. And you're like, all right, do I stay away from my family? Because in those hours, it's like, you know, you don't know if you got it or not. You don't know, because you send the whole organization home. That's a big deal. But it's probably a big relief as well when that 9 o'clock hour hit and you're like, okay, everybody's okay. Let's get back to business. Let's focus a little bit. But again, that roller coaster can be mentally draining. And I'm hoping it's not wearing them down early on right now.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. Do you have faith in Major League Baseball to fix the issues that they're having early on? Because again, this wasn't just the Astros. This was multiple teams that are having issues. There was another team yesterday that had some issues as well. I can't remember which team, but this is continuing. I mean, this is a continuing thing. Now, from a mental standpoint, if this happens over and over and over again, then these guys are just going to be worn out mentally, like you said.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be tough, man. You can't just play with somebody's psyche like that. And they're not doing it on purpose, but it's just part of what it is right now. And if you keep hearing, you got to go home. You can't come back. Like, you have to, number one, be mentally tough to be like, all right, I need to make sure I'm ready to go. Because say it's during the game. Say it's during the season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Say it's during whatever the case may be. You got to be mentally tough to stay in your zone, to be mentally prepared for whatever it may come. You may be able to have to sit out or whatever the case may be. Or you may be fine and be able to play the next day. Just, you never know what's coming. So this is going to be a good test for – it's actually, I guess, look, put it this way. This could be a good test for what may be a kind of year that you may have a lot of mental stuff going on.
We talked yesterday about – and I told you, I talked to a player from another team. I talked to a coach from another team. And they had not had any issues with their testing, and they were all confident that Major League Baseball would figure this out. That this is, you know, this is something that this has never been done before. Some hiccups early on were to be expected, and you just heard Ryan Pressly say the same thing, and that was echoed from every player that we did talk to, and also Dusty Baker about this yesterday. They feel that Major League Baseball is going to have this figured out. That they'd rather get these issues out of the way early when there's no games, because I don't know if there is a contingency. If you get into a game day, which is every day in baseball, and test results haven't come in, and if you play a game at 7 o'clock and test results haven't come in yet, is everybody going home and are you playing doubleheaders? Because it's harder to make those games up now when you're only playing a 60-game season, and every game counts in a 60-game season. So that's the one issue that I need to know. Does Major League Baseball have some sort of contingency if, for whatever reason, test results don't come in on time when you're playing games?
What's the rule on testing? Is it every other day?
Every other day is when they're getting tested.
So if it's every other day and it's around the league, I'm just interested, why were there certain teams that were fine and other teams that weren't, if that makes sense?
I think it was maybe when they conducted their tests.
Everybody start differently, like, as far as
Yeah, I don't think everyone's testing on the same day. I think some of it might be getting split up. But also at the same time, some people might be getting tested earlier. Some people might have just set up the shipments a little bit better with FedEx or UPS or whatever shipping company that they were using. I mean, it's really interesting.
A lot of variables.
Exactly. And you're using an agency that's not – you're using an out-of-state agency to get these test results done. And I guess that's the interesting part to me, is how you can't just, you know, we're in Houston. You're testing guys in Houston. You can't send the results. You can't send the test to Houston to get the results back. That to me is odd, but I think that's just the hard part of dealing with it.
Well, I guess the MLB wanted to find, I guess, obviously they wanted to find something that they can be in charge of. I guess everybody does it to their own city. There's maybe suspicion of, you know,
And there's something a money aspect on. Too.
Absolutely.
There's a money aspect to it where, you know, I'm sure this company said, hey, you know, we'll charge you X amount of dollars if you just use us for everything, and we'll have everything back to you. Now, again, this was one hiccup, and it was on a holiday weekend.
Yes.
And while everyone knew it was going to be a holiday weekend, I guess when it's the first week of it, you have to expect that it's not always going to go smoothly. You just hope that what happened on Monday, what happened over the weekend, doesn't happen again. And like I said, you heard Ryan Pressly say it a minute ago. They are confident that Major League Baseball is going to have this figured out.
Well, they're saying the right things. Yeah. They're saying the right things. So we'll see what happens the rest of this week and the following weeks. And hopefully they can, little hiccups that happen, they can, you know, get rid of those things, because you can't have that during the season. If you're testing every other day, and like you mentioned, it's back to backs and 3-game stretches and all types of stuff going on. Depending when that test comes in and when they, because to me, you may be having a situation where a guy is playing that is positive if you don't have that test back in time, or they might not be able to play and they're negative. You know what I mean? So they got to make sure they get this right ASAP.
All right, we will continue with the Astros when we come back, because there are other rules that are being put in for players, and there are restrictions on things that players can do that they normally do, and it's going to force guys to get out of some habits. I'm going to tell you what those habits are, and then ask Cecil, did he have any weird habits back when he played? That's next on Sports Radio 610.
You know, I've been in a bullpen, and guys are still licking their fingers or spitting. And I found myself spitting a couple times. I'm not supposed to spit either. And like I said, my mother's been trying to stop me from spitting since I was 7, 8 years old. And so it's tough breaking these habits.
That was 71-year-old Dusty Baker. After yesterday's Astros workout, he's been spitting for, 64 years. Still can't break the habit. But he's got to now, because part of MLB's health protocol is that players are no longer allowed to spit. Players are no longer allowed to lick their fingers to try and grip the baseball. And we are seeing early on that this is already becoming not an issue, but you have habits. You have been playing sports and for your entire lives, and now all of a sudden, the things that you have been doing your entire life, you aren't allowed to do. This is going to be really tough, I think.
It's no way you're going to, is there punishment for licking your fingers? Because that's a part of, I remember being a pitcher. I remember being a shortstop center fielder, and there was times where I just naturally, if I'm trying to grip the ball, not even thinking about it, lick my fingers, wipe my pants, get ready to go. But it's like, that's a natural habit. And I don't know if people are going to be able to stop that. Like, I'm watching the Korean baseball guy right now. He didn't lick his hands, but he kind of blew in his hands. Are you allowed to do that?
Yes.
I think you're allowed
to blow on your hands.
But it's just little things like that you don't even think about. And it's going to be hard, very hard to stop. But I get it. It's extremely important in these times.
Dustin Gourneau isn't even a pitcher, and he's got the same issues that he's got to deal with.
I'm trying to figure this whole no licking my fingers. I'm up for anything right now.
Now, there is one. No, MLB does have one, I don't know, way to at least sort of solve the problem, and that is, pitchers will be able to have a wet towel in their back pockets in order to wet their fingers. So that's the one way they have to alleviate the problem, because this is an important thing. This isn't some small thing. Pitchers lick their fingers because they need to grip the baseball.
Yeah.
And if it's a lot harder to pitch, especially if you are in an area where it's dry, like if you're in Colorado or someplace like that, it's tough to grip the ball. That's why it's tougher to throw breaking balls in Colorado, because it's harder to grip the baseball. So that's an issue that they've got to be able to be ready for. Now, Cy Snead, Astros pitcher, threw a live BP yesterday. He did not go to his mouth while he pitched, and he said that he was preparing for it because he had an idea that when he was in Alaska, throwing and getting ready to return to Houston, that there was going
to be... Is that where he's from?
Yeah, he's from Alaska. He lives in Alaska. That there were going to be some sort of restrictions on what you can do because of the situation that we're all in. So this is what Cy Snead had to say.
It's something that you just have to be cognizant of. And, the thing with the wet towel that you can have in your pocket or whatever. So, I'm excited to try that out. And it was actually something I had thought about while I was at home, that this is probably not going to be something I can do. So I was really trying to get away from doing that.
So I want to know from you, did you have any habits? And it's not like spitting or anything, but did you have any habits that you had to break, that, routines that you were in when you were in college, that all of a sudden you get to the NFL and you can't do this anymore?
No. You're pretty much allowed. I never had any habits. I had a lot of pregame rituals per se, not any habits that I couldn't do. If anything, once I got to the league, I was able to do more. It wasn't too many restrictions on what you could and couldn't do. But it was a different time then too, compared to right now. We didn't have to worry about health pretty much. It was just, whatever made you comfortable. So as soon as you got in the league, it was like, all right, you can do whatever you want as long as it makes you comfortable and you can play to the best of your ability. So it didn't matter if it was equipment, it didn't matter if it was whatever you needed, a cut in your jersey or pants, whatever you needed to play well, they did for you. So it wasn't nothing, especially then 2011, that we had to worry about per se.
Yeah, I'm interested because, again, you can't spit. There's no tobacco.
Now, what is spit? What is, like...
You cannot discharge anything from your mouth onto the ground.
Really?
Yes.
Now, are there penalties for this?
I don't know initially if there will be, but...
Because obviously you can't stop the game. And,
yeah, I don't know if you can hand out, if they've got somebody in the stadium that's going to keep track of, okay, he spit once, that's $50.
Hey, you know what? That might be a thing. Cause uniform police? They had the uniform police in the NFL. They watch you. They literally, when you come out the for pregame, they literally watch you, watch your jersey, watch your socks, watch your shoes. And then when you come back in from pregame, they let you know, hey, you got too much white in your socks, or you got too much color in your socks, or your jersey needs to be tucked in, or your undershirt this or that and this and that. So I wouldn't be surprised if the MLB had somebody just for, like, mouth duty. Hey, you lit your fingers, don't do it again. Maybe it's like a warning, and then the second time or the third time it's like a they'll send it to the league office and they'll, you know, you'll get fined or whatever. That'd be interesting to see how it goes.
I will tell you, minor league baseball has tobacco police.
Really?
Tobacco is not allowed, you know. Smokeless tobacco is not allowed. Now, they don't regulate it during the games, but what they do, the tobacco police will come into the clubhouse. And
they'll search?
So they will search the lockers, but they're not allowed to touch anything. So if you put a can under your hat and the guy can't see it, well, then there's nothing he can do. And players know this, but yet guys still get popped for it. They
don't. Wait, so players know they can't move nothing. They still get popped.
Because they're not ready for it. It's one of those things. It's not like they don't tell you when the tobacco police are showing up. They just show up. They just walk through. And I will tell you, we had a general manager who did not know the rule. He did not know that they could not touch anything. So he actually moved. So the police guy, whatever they call him, he says to our GM, hey, do you mind moving that hat real quick?
Oh,
and what was under the hat? Can.
See, that is something I wonder if guys take it a little too serious. Like guys bending down, trying to get the right angles to see the cans or whatever the case may be. But hey, rules are rules.
Yeah, and the fines are serious too.
Yeah.
For the player and the manager too. Manager gets it 10 times worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Does the manager get it if the player gets it? Yep. Or is it really? So if I'm the manager, you got to be on. I'm not trying to get fined.
Exactly.
If you're going
to
know.
That's how they get the manager to enforce everything.
That's pretty good, though. That's a pretty good rule.
And unless you're the manager.
Unless you're the manager. Which you would think the pressure on the manager will make him make sure his guys aren't doing it.
But I do think the spitting is, it's a natural thing. I don't know how you break out of a natural habit.
You don't think about
like
it.
That. Exactly. I'll tell you, you know, when I worked in baseball, you're outside all day. So you just get used to spitting in the grass. And I remember I'd be walking through the hallways of a hotel. And when you're walking through the hallways, you know, it's a long walk to your room. You kind of have it in your head. It feels like that you're walking from home plate to the bullpen to go talk to someone. And when you do that, you just naturally you're spitting. I caught myself spitting on the carpet in the hotel.
Wow.
Just on the long walk from room to wherever.
Did you rub it in with your foot every time I spit?
Yeah. I admit it happened. It's not something I'm proud of, but
it's a habit.
When I'm on these long walks from, you know, wherever to the room, it feels like I'm outside.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, when I'm on the long walks, I was outside on the long walks.
So. Let me ask you this. You put in a rundown. Garrett Cole had an interesting thing yesterday.
So one thing you'll notice when a team records an out and there's nobody on base,
right,
they throw the ball around the horn.
Yep.
So, like, let's say, and Garrett Cole yesterday threw an inter-squad game, and it was early on, he strikes out Michael Tauchman. There's nobody on base. He strikes out Michael Tauchman. His catcher, Gary Sanchez, does what Gary Sanchez has done for his entire life, gets the strikeout, throws the ball down to third base,
right.
Ball goes around the infield. Well, you can't do that anymore. If the ball touches too many hands, the ball has to be taken out of play. So Garrett Cole gets a strikeout with this one baseball because Gary Sanchez threw the ball around the horn. Now all of a sudden, the ball has to get taken out of play. Garrett Cole has to get a new baseball. What happens on the very next pitch with this new baseball? Miguel Andujar hits a home run off of him. So it's little things like that that guys are going to have to understand that they can't do anymore. These things that they have been doing for their entire lives, their entire baseball careers, they can't do anymore. Now, the baseball thing is probably not going to be a big issue because you'll get better baseballs once you actually get into the season. But
what do you mean better baseballs?
I think they were using practice balls.
Oh, okay, I got
so you. They weren't in great condition. You're not going to waste good baseballs for
wait. So let me ask you this: who supplies the balls for the game? Because I believe in the NFL, you the can bring do. The teams do.
Yeah, the teams do, and they give them to at least in the minor leagues. The home team provides all the baseballs. They give them to the umpires, and then the umpires, when they come out before the game, they've got this big thing of baseballs that they give to the bat boy. Okay. And then the bat boy basically is in charge of the baseballs. He's the one who's standing by the baseballs the entire game. And there are times where you need more by the time the game ends.
So the home team supplies the baseballs for the whole for everybody.
Yeah, that's in minor leagues. I don't know exactly how it works in the big leagues.
Because I would think that okay. I was wondering because I didn't know if you could like mess with the ball beforehand. Like in football, the quarterbacks will have the ball scrubbed all the way down to the, mm-hmm. you know, however they like it. Or in New England, they'll deflate them a little bit.
Yeah.
And whatever the case may be. I just wonder if in baseball, were you allowed to like maybe wear down
you do,
just a little
you do
bit.
Rub them down because okay. new baseballs, they're greasy. Slick. Yeah, yep. they're a little bit slick. So that is a thing. Now, I don't know. They're still going to rub down the baseball. I don't know if the guy has to wear gloves or if the baseballs are going to be sanitized or whatever before they get put into play, but these are all little things that are changing the way the game is going to be played.
That's
going
to be crazy. So after a strikeout, guys going to have to
throw it right back to the pitcher.
Right back to the pitcher.
Unless the pitcher don't want the baseball again.
Yeah, that'd be a thing.
And pitchers like having that same baseball because they have the feel for it and they're a little superstitious. Like, hey, I got a swinging strike out of this. I want to hold on to this ball.
And by the way, Cole looked good yesterday. I didn't see the full inter-squad scrimmage, but just from the highlights I've seen of him, he looked really, really good.
I know he came in and he threw 5 innings after basically being down for 4 months. He came in and threw 5 innings. And they have him obviously on schedule to pitch on opening day, and yeah. the Yankees open up in 15 days.
It looks weird seeing him in I guess, not in Astros.
Well,
colors.
He's got no beard now.
That's very true.
And his hair is cut.
That's very true.
Whenever guys go to the Yankees, they look different just because the Yankees have pretty strict rules on appearance.
Yeah.
Which it's still odd that it's 2020 and we're still doing this. No facial hair and short hair.
And that's a clubhouse rule?
That's a New York Yankees rule.
Really?
Yep. Always has been, and I guess it always will be at this point, unless something changes. But no one ever challenges it.
I guess the respect from the organization, yeah. and you know what you're going to, you know what you're getting into when you go there.
I mean, they're signing high priced guys, and those guys are just doing it.
Oh, they're paying you a good penny.
Yeah. We'll talk about the Astros because there were some things that stuck out during yesterday's workout, and also there are some reasons for questions. I will say this: so everyone tested positive. Who took the COVID-19
positive.
Test. Positive. Or negative, excuse
Ooh.
Me. So everyone who took the test on
That's
Friday.
That's news right there.
Yeah, I know. It would have been. So everyone tested negative who took the test. So everyone who was at Sunday's workout was at yesterday's workout.
Okay.
But still no Yordan Alvarez, no Jose Urquidy, no Josh James, and no Joe Smith. Dusty Baker. Now, these weren't for positive tests. At least the Astros aren't allowed to say that.
Okay.
But Dusty Baker did say Josh James is out for a family reason. Joe Smith is out because he's concerned about health stuff with his family. So it doesn't mean that they won't be around for opening day.
But any word on Yordan?
No. That's an undisclosed reason. So you can connect the dots in the same thing with Urquidy. We'll get back to the Astros, though, later on in the show. But when we come back, we've heard very little from the NFLPA about what is happening with the NFL and what's going to be happening with training camp. But you're starting to see there's some cracks and there is some frustration, it sounds like, from the NFLPA. We're going to get into what those frustrations are and how might it affect if there's an NFL season. That's next on Sports Radio 610. Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Seth and Sean. John McClain will join us at 8. Kevin Zlotnick from the Sugarland Skeeters will join us at 9:15. Skeeters are going to be playing games in front of fans in just 2 days, so he's going to tell us how that's going to go. I want to switch gears to the NFL because the NFL has had, of all the leagues, the NFL has handled the coronavirus different, where it almost feels like they have at least tried to portray publicly that this is business as usual. They have not moved anything. Free agency started exactly when it was supposed to start. The draft was exactly when the draft was scheduled to be. The only difference was that it was in Roger Goodell's basement instead of in Las Vegas. Teams are not practicing, or they did not hold OTAs, so that was the one difference. But the NFL is acting like training camp is going to start on time, and the season is going to start on time. And for the first time, you're starting to see that maybe the NFLPA isn't on board. And so NFLPA President J.C. Treader basically went public with some of the issues that the players are having. And it all seems like it stems from training camp and the preseason. And it sounds like from what J.C. Treader wrote on, I guess it was an NFLPA blog on their website, he said that the NFLPA and NFL Coronavirus Task Force had an understanding that the best way to handle preseason is to give players essentially 48 days of practice or a 48-day acclimatization period and then go into games. And it sounds like the NFL wants to do 23 days and then play two preseason games.
Yeah.
The players don't want this. The players are concerned about jumping into things too quickly, jumping into games too quickly because of injury risks. And I don't know, because you're in the league during the lockout, and did you notice players getting injured at a higher rate when they came back from the lockout? And apparently it's two injuries in particular, hamstring injuries and Achilles injuries. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice it. That was my rookie year. Only thing I noticed was that playbook that was 10 inches thick that they threw at me the very first day. But looking back and talking to veterans and doing research, Achilles was a that percentage of injuries went up highly. And soft tissue like hamstrings and stuff went up highly. And it was simply because of you couldn't have the normal offseason for the player. And I think that's smart on J.C. Treader's part and the NFLPA to look out for the safety of the guys. Preseason games are not needed, in my opinion. That's more of a – and I get where the NFL is coming from a standpoint of we want to get the protocol down for travel. We want to get the protocol down for what you call it. But at the same time, I understand you're trying to make some money too, because preseason, the four games, they bring in money. And if you're going to knock down two, you're trying to figure out a way to how to, you know, still bring in some type of income besides, you know, missing the other two. So for me, you don't need preseason games. It makes total sense to have a 48-day period. It seems like a long time. It's like six, almost 7 weeks.
Yeah, 7 weeks.
Of practice and training camp. But the way it'll be set up is they were gradually getting to it, right? So the first couple of weeks, normal training camp will be, you know, a couple of days. It's like conditioning and a couple of days of no pads, then eventually you get pads. And then you can't even hit the first day of pads. It's like the next day you can hit. So I'm assuming it will be a lot longer process as far as maybe the first week or so you're getting acclimated. The second week you get pads, and then the following you'll be able to hit or whatever. But it's just smart in that sense. Number one, for the safety of the virus, want to make sure everybody is completely healthy with that. But number two, you don't have the normal off season, so the guys are not going to come in. I'm sure they're professionals and they're working extremely hard, but it's different. From a coaching standpoint, when you can see the guys, right, and you know they're in shape and you know they've been working, you haven't seen nobody. You don't know what they've been doing. And some guys are going to come in not in shape. It happens every year. Some guys just come in not in shape, and you're hoping it's not the key players on your team, but you never know. And freak accidents happen. So I think it's just smart to not rush things, take things on the slow end, on the careful end, and slowly build up to be able to have a good season.
And remember, in 2011, the shorter training camp and preseason because of the lockout, it was still a lot easier for guys to go work out.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't work out with your coaches or anything like that, but
at the facility, yes, but you could still go work out.
You were locked out from the facility, but you weren't locked out anywhere else.
Yes.
And you could freely travel to wherever you wanted. You could work out with wherever you could work out with whoever you wanted.
Yeah.
And all the gyms were open. You don't have that now. It's hard for some guys. I guarantee you it's hard to find a gym. It's hard to find a place to work out at. And now you're just going to jump into it. So you really need to be careful when it comes to jumping into games and jumping into things too quickly.
It just makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? And for the NFL to put up a 23-day plan, to me, that's irresponsible. And I think J.C. Treader is doing a good job thus far trying to make sure he's doing the best he can to make sure the players' safety is at hand first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the is paid attention to rather than money or rushing things, getting back to the issue. NFL, to me, and you mentioned it to intro the segment, they're trying to act like things are normal and everything. No, let's literally make understand what's going on, make it known what's going on, and be able to make adjustments to it. You can't just go business as usual when it's not that case. It's just a whole different type of year. So we got to adjust football around the virus. You can't just make the virus adjust around football. It doesn't work that way.
And that was the quote that J.C. Treader used, where he basically said the NFL thinks the virus is going to bend to the NFL. And while everything else in the world might bend to the NFL, the coronavirus is certainly not going to do so. Now, the two injuries that he cited, hamstring injuries and Achilles injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Hamstring injuries are nagging.
Yes.
But they're not necessarily career ending, career debilitating. But when you're talking about an Achilles injury, that's changing the course of someone's career. That's changing the course of someone's life. And if you're putting that player at risk, especially a player that you have a serious investment in,
oh, yeah.
Why are you screwing around with that?
Oh, yeah. That's a great point by you. And then, like you mentioned, in 2011 with the lockout, you were still able to go and live a normal life. The guys just couldn't go to their facility and work out, but they could go to the gym. I remember in Jacksonville, after we got drafted, they made me and Blaine come down for a week or two and hang out with the guys and do 7-on-7s with them and work out at the gym, the whole nine. Whereas now you can't do it at all. So now it's not just Achilles tendons and hamstrings, in my opinion. It's ACLs, MCLs. It's all types of injuries that could be on the table that will heighten just simply because we were on lockdown for 3 months. Like, we weren't able to leave the house. And I understand those guys have a lot of money and they're able to, some guys are able to get gyms in their rooms or in their houses, excuse me, or dumbbells, whatever the case may be. But it's totally different when you are limited to do something, right? When you're free to do something. So you got to be extremely careful. I think JC is doing a great job of just keeping that in mind. Like, we got to make sure the guys are safe. We got to make sure we're taking care of our guys. We don't need preseason. And then if you think about it, in high school, you don't have preseason.
College, you don't.
In college, you don't have preseason. So why in the NFL would you need it in this situation? Let's just practice, take care of the guys, maybe some inter-squad scrimmages if teams are, you know, Houston has like two teams that are close between Dallas and the Saints. So maybe inter-squad scrimmage if the coaches in the NFL can approve it and are comfortable with it. But a scrimmage is a preseason game is not necessarily needed for success.
And the NFL is basically saying, well, we want preseason games. We want the two preseason games because the coaches need to be able to evaluate players. Come on.
That's weak.
That's a really, really bad excuse.
That's weak. Like, you're literally being evaluated every single day at practice and in the meeting rooms, the whole nine. By the third, fourth, like, if you just have no preseason games and it's just the 6 weeks, they'll know their players dang on well. Like, that's not an issue at all. That's not an issue at all. They're trying to make money, period. That's all they're trying to do. Now, is it different calling plays for the coaches at practice in the game? Yes, it is, but everybody will have to make that adjustment, right? So that would be something that Tim Kelly and Weaver will have to kind of go on the fly with. But as far as evaluating players, that's not an excuse. You know who you have.
Now, and teams go into training camp with 90 players in a normal year,
mm-hmm.
and the NFL has made it to where you can stay at 90 players until that last preseason game, and that's why nobody plays in the preseason anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, how many snaps did Deshaun Watson actually play? Actually, the Texans aren't the best example because they had Lamar Miller get hurt in that third preseason game, but there are a lot of teams now that aren't playing anyone in the preseason. I mean, the Browns did not play anyone.
Yeah.
In their four preseason games, and they just let guy 90 and guy 80 and guy 81, they get every single snap.
Yeah.
And for a lot of these teams, they're not even going to take 75 guys with them to training camp because, A, that's too many guys, and you can't have that many guys in a locker room at this point, and you just don't have time to evaluate people the way that you did. You didn't have an off season, so what's it matter about getting down? It should be easy to get from 75 to 53.
Yeah, it bothers me a little bit, and I understand the circumstances, but that's like 15 guys not getting the opportunity.
No, it's terrible. It's really bad.
It's tough because, you know, those guys have – you never know who's going to show up. And I understand that I think on Monday we were talking about it. The practice squad may open up a little bit to 16 to 20 players, But still, that's tough. And I understand you can't have that many guys in the locker room on the field. That's just too many guys to manage. And then as far as evaluating, you're going to get your, if there's two preseason games, your veterans are going to get a lot of practice reps. You know what I mean? Deshaun and those guys, they're going to get a lot of reps during practice. Again, there's no OTAs. There was no mini camps. There was no anything before training camp starts. So those guys don't get majority of the reps. So evaluation may come for the younger guys or the guys that are on the bubble in some of the later in the preseason games as far as maybe the second halves and stuff. But I expect Deshaun and those guys to play a good amount in practice and in the game because the more reps, the better. You know what I mean? It's just going to be interesting to see how they maneuver it. The Rams a few years ago didn't play anybody. Not one soul, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl. And they came out rolling. But I wonder how their practice schedule was, too, though. You know, were they heavy getting a lot of reps in practice? Were practice strenuous for those guys? And then they just let them rest on game day. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bill O'Brien works it, but it's going to – we have to watch it. And I expect the ones and the twos and the threes to get tons of reps, and then the guys on the bubble and the rookies to kind of work their way in.
Joint practices have turned into a big thing in the NFL, and the Texans have used them just as well as anyone.
Yeah.
Is that – right now, there are no joint practices scheduled. Is that one area that the NFL needs to look at? Because you brought up scrimmages.
Yeah.
But do we just need to have at least a couple days where you have a joint practice with another team just so that you can really play more full speed? Because I do find it tough to think that you're going to be able to go from – just normal practices into a regular season game situation.
Yeah, I think you need joint practices, a.k.a. scrimmages, right? You need to go against another opponent. You need to be able to have situations against opponents that necessarily don't know your ins and outs, right? And that to go against other good players and put your players in position in pressure situations, right, against teams. And when you go against other teams in inter-squad practices or scrimmages, it heightens the level of competition, heightens the level of intensity. And with you having, I'm just thinking of the Texans itself, if you having a young OC, it would be good for him to call plays, and you can treat it like a game. You know what I mean? You can literally treat an inter-squad scrimmage or inter-squad practice like a game. So you'll sit down with the head coach, and they'll discuss how they want to go about it. They'll go through their protocols, everybody get warmed up, and then they can just treat it like a game.
You have a first-time defensive coordinator and a first-time play caller.
Absolutely.
Just let them go up against each other.
Like, just let it go. So I think it would be really good to have those. And it's good for the players. We get tired of going against each other, hitting the same guys. And after a while, you know, we know everything they're going to do. They know everything we're going to do. It's good to have those breaks in between. But to be honest, it gets annoying after a while, too, because it's hard to trust the other guys. They're going to take care of you like you take care of your own. So 2 or 3 days at max and then get going.
The Texans do have some guys that have been injury prone in the past, Will Fuller being the big one, and they need him on the field. We talked about this yesterday. He's crucial to their offense. How do you handle a guy who has been injury prone in the past when he really has not had an offseason?
Oh, this is...
And remember, this is obviously a huge year for Fuller. He's a free agent.
Contract year. This is tough because you want to take care of your guys, right? In a normal year, they'll probably take care of them. They'll give them veteran days off, you know what I mean? But now with, like we mentioned, no offseason, can you do that? Can you afford to do that? You probably have to. But the days he practices, he has to be on point. He has to be ready to go, right? I know Deshaun Watson's in Arizona right now. And he's getting timing with Brandon Cooks. I believe Kenny Stills will be down there today. I hope Will Fuller's down there as well. I'm pretty sure he is. Times like this is very important for him to get timing, to be on the same page as Deshaun. And they have a great connection already, right? But so come training camp, it may be a little leniency, like, okay, all right, 3 days in a row, you have to go hard for us, and that fourth day will give you a rest. But those 3 days, you have to be able to get reps, be healthy. We have to be able to depend on you. The biggest thing with Coach O'Brien is, are you a dependable player, right? Are you dependable for me? Dependable is not just making plays in the game. Are you going to be healthy for the game? Are you going to be able to somebody we can depend on? You'll know your assignment. You'll know your plays. And that's huge for him. So if Will can stay healthy and show it in practice that he can be dependable, It would be a good thing, but it's going to be trying for a lot of guys. It's going to be tough on the head coaches, man. How to monitor the guys, like you mentioned, that are injury prone? How do you monitor guys coming off injury?
The older guys too.
How do you monitor the older veterans? You know what I mean? So you got to make sure those guys are getting in shape. It's going to be a lot of communication from the head coach and the strength coach on what's going on, how we should run things. Some guys have sports science guys that would be humongous helps. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but it should be a level of trust there, especially for the veterans. Like, hey, I know you're in shape. I know you're going to take care of yourself. I know you're going to be ready to go for game time. But at the same time, on certain guys, you got to be able to, like, all right, push him a little bit. For me, I might push Will Fuller a little bit just to see where he's at, to see how he can go.
How long does it take for the quarterback-receiver relationship to come back when you've been gone for a while, when you've been away from each other for a while?
You know, it doesn't take too long. And because if you've been with a guy for as long as Will Fuller's been with Deshaun, you understand where you need to be. So it'll probably take a couple of weeks to get on back on the same page, and then you're ready to go. But it's so important that they're working together right now in the offseason, especially this year.
What about a new quarterback receiver combo? Because obviously the Texans have that with they got a couple new guys.
That takes time, because simply the quarterback has to inform the receiver exactly where they want them. And then on certain plays and in certain coverages and in certain situations, it may be a different spot. And that's something you have to learn and build throughout time. And on air isn't as good as in a game, if that makes sense. It's because in the game or in practice, that's where the reps happen, where you know, okay, I see. I got to come behind this linebacker at 12 yards and he'll hit me right away. Or I got to keep running to the second window and then he'll hit me in the second window. So it's just like a matter of being on the same page and getting game reps for the new guys. But as time goes on for them, they'll be able to go. So I think for the newer guys like Cooks, like Cobb, it may take up until, you know, week five, week four to really, really get timing down as far as like the Steels or Fuller already has with Watson.
So the way we started the segment, the NFLPA is not happy with some of the stuff that the NFL is trying to do. Do you see anything that... Is anything that you've read from J.C. Treader make you feel like the season could be in jeopardy and that they can't come together on some sort of an agreement?
Well, I don't think the NFLPA has that much power to be able to say, we're going to sit out this season. We're not going to play. It's too many guys on the roster. It's too many guys that are not making the big buck. Like, it's not too many guys making Patrick Mahomes money or quarterback money or big time J.J. Watt money. So it's going to be guys that are like, nah, I need to play, because it'll come down to a vote. Right, it'll come down to a vote from the players, and most guys will be like, I need to go play and make this money and provide for my family, provide for myself, especially after being off so long and not being able to do nothing in those 3-4 months. So I don't think they have the leverage to be like, I'm going to sit out, but I don't think they will. I think if something happens, it'll be a mistake from the NFL because they tried to rush things. But as far as the NFL players PA sitting or voting to sit out, that's just not going to happen, in my opinion.
If you were still playing...
Yes.
How would you feel about where things are headed with the PA and with the NFL?
Oh, I wouldn't be comfortable at all. I'd be straight up honest with you. And I believe Trapp and Wade were talking about this last week. It might have been on Friday when you guys were in on the schedule. Trapp and Wade got together and they were like, you know, it didn't matter. I was going to play. Mm-hmm. Like I'm playing. And for me, it's like, I wouldn't. I would definitely think about not playing. To me, it doesn't seem safe. I'm not sure how you're going to keep 75 guys from getting the virus and then going home and not spreading it and keep going in from there. I just don't see how it's going to work productively right now for me. So I probably would think about sitting out.
So safety virus aside, there is a possibility that you could get hurt.
Yes.
Just as we talked about, because you don't have a full offseason, that could impact your career. With that being a possibility, do you think about sitting out? Do you take that into consideration?
No, I wouldn't take that into consideration. It's just simply putting the virus aside, I pride myself on being in the best shape as possible. But I would talk to my agent and make sure whatever's in my contract is set up that I know I can get my money here and there. So that'd be a conversation me and him will have. And depending where I am leverage-wise with the team, I may try to get some injury stuff in my contract, but as far as that, no, that's just part of the game. So I'm not even worried about that.
So if you're Will Fuller and you are a year away from free agency, you have had injury trouble all throughout your career, hamstring, knee, and now you have a strange offseason, and you're in, for me, I think it would be a tough spot for him. Now, obviously, he could make a lot of money if he plays and he shows that he's healthy and he has a productive year. But at the same time, if he plays and he gets hurt because he didn't really have an offseason, that impacts him just as poorly as it would be, you know, a good thing if he played well. So what do you do if you're him?
That's tough. He has to be in the best shape of his life, to be honest. He has to put himself in position to be like, okay, I got to make sure my body from head to toe is fully ready to go. Strengthen the areas that were weak. Make sure I'm flexible. Make sure I'm ready to go, because football is a violent sport and there's some things you can't control, right? And he's battled with some things that were frustrating for him. So he has to be in the best shape of his life. And like I said, maybe, I don't know if it's taking out insurance or whatever the case may be. He should make good money this year though. But, you gotta be smart on your part. For him, he gotta come in and prove himself. I don't think he has any leverage to be able to sit out and not play and expect a big contract with somebody else next year. So he gotta come in shape and ready to go.
Yeah, Will Fuller is playing out his rookie deal as a first round pick, so he's done all right.
Yeah.
But obviously he has a chance to do really, 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 good. Really well.
Yeah, yep, I agree.
We're going to talk about this with John McClain when he joins us in an hour. That is the first hour of our show wrapped up. But when we come back, today is the 10-year anniversary of LeBron James and the decision. We're going to spend some time on this because I want to know from Cecil, how did this decision change the NBA? That's next on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.